makes a statement about the Lord's creation. And it's a very short verse. So you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand. Thank you. But we'll just read it together here because it tells of unique creation. If you will remember your biology classes, you studied a little bit about this. Let's read it. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Both of them. Praise God. And again, David, a reminder of what he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't even have a microscope. He didn't have the knowledge of physiology that's available today. He didn't know about the body systems and so on. I imagine he just sat around the campfire and watched the movement of his hand, how he could hear the lowing of the sheep and the lapping of the water and, you know, that sort of thing that they would do. And he would know how amazing God's handiwork is. Now, Ephesians 2 and 10, the scripture says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, there's a spiritual bend to this verse of scripture to bring us to what God hath before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. That should be our outlook. That should be our commitment, our devotion, the good works that the Lord wants us to provide. And these are spiritual works of bringing light to others and truth so that they could know what it is to be free. We rejoice in America in our freedom, our liberties, and just a great nation. Thank God for it. But there are those struggling with depression, struggling with fear, struggling with addictions, struggling with poverty, you know, just any number of things that are weighing down humanity. Thank God the Lord is able to bring powerful deliverance and liberty and freedom as we are able to do the good works. And we should walk in them, make progress, continue on, and see what the Lord is going to do. Now, we know we are not saved by works. We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace, and not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Titus 3 and 5, that substantiates the new birth by mentioning water and spirit, says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And then here's the new birth, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Thank God that he's able to do that kind of work. Now, does that mean we just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride? And there's nothing you can do to be saved, nothing you can do to be lost. There are churches that teach that. And we're just in neutral. You know, we're in cruise. I think about that new motorhome owner going down the freeway, put it in cruise, and went in the back to make some coffee. Didn't end up so well. We're not, that's kind of the ending we're going to have if we think we can go in cruise, in spiritual cruise control. Not going to work. We continue on because God does the miracles, the signs and the wonders, and then his eternal work is salvation. Everything else, no, I can testify being healed. You can testify of being healed. You can testify financial needs being met. You can testify of protection. You can testify of, you know, any number of things, small things. I was struggling this afternoon with good old QuickBooks. Anybody know how to do QuickBooks? I'll turn it over to you in a second. It just was not working, and I could not figure it out. I worked and worked. I set it aside. I got it back out. I worked and worked. And my wife said a quick prayer, Lord, help my husband find what is wrong with the QuickBooks. I found it. Just like that. Amazing, huh? Some might think that's a small thing. Well, you get that stupid thing to balance, it's a big thing. And so, no matter what, the Lord is able to take care of that need. Hebrews 4 and 9 says it's eternal salvation. Hebrews 9 and 12 says it's eternal redemption. Thank God. He can take care of things here in this life, which is the life we have. And then we know there's eternity that's awaiting us for us. Praise God. But this verse, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, caught my attention. I've probably taught on it before, spoken on it before, but I've done some further reading. And I found a critic of the design of the eye. And here's what Kenneth Miller of Brown University contends. Engineers would not have designed the eye that way. And here's why. He says the eye is imperfect. There are neural connectors placed in front of the photoreceptor cells, which blocks light. He did have to acknowledge that the nerve cells are almost transparent, and I had to think, that's by design. Not by accident. And he said, also blocking light is a network of blood cells, or blood vessels, rather, in front of the light-sensitive area. He ends his little critique by saying, no engineer would propose that design. Well, let's say he's right. Let's say you get 50% more light in your eyes. Anybody want to wear sunglasses all day long and inside and no matter where you are because 50% more light, that's my approximation. He says there's evidence that organisms were cobbled together, layer upon layer, by a tireless tinkerer called evolution. But a tinkerer makes things, right? A tinkerer will find the best way to do it. That's design. He needs to come up with a better analogy. Because our God designed the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Praise God. Remember the good old SLR cameras, the single lens reflex cameras? You'd play around with that and you get the right amount of light to come in and so on. And nowadays, your phone... I was trying to remember what the number stood for on digital cameras. Remember digital cameras that came out? There was a 4, then there was a 5, and so on. My phone, probably your smartphone, has an 8 on the camera. I can't remember what that number stands for, but obviously it's an improvement. It's, what is it, Lee? Okay. So the improvement, amazing. But your eye does everything automatically. You don't tell your pupil to contract or open up. You know, it just does it. And binocular control, you know, a baby's eyes will wander a little bit. They've got to learn binocular control, which means both eyes move in the same direction and they blink at the same time and all of that. That's automatic. Just you don't have to train to do that. Winking, of course, is you're making one eye close, but amazing how all of that stuff is there. And I can remember a biology class about rods and cones. Anybody remember looking at that? Rods, I got this from Wikipedia. Rods are responsible for vision at low light levels, what they call scotopic vision. They don't mediate color vision. They have a low spatial acuity because it's dark. You're not going to see everything. Cones are active at higher light levels and photopic vision, and they're capable of color. You can see color because the light is there, and they're responsible for high spatial acuity. The central fovea is populated exclusively by cones. Okay, so that's interesting. But Who designed cones and rods? Who put them in place for special purpose for your eyes to be able to adjust to light conditions? It just happened? I have a hard time with that. The ear, I got this from Britannica, and oh boy, it was way over my head in a hurry. Your outer ear, the three parts of your ear, your outer ear collects the sound waves. Have you ever done this when you're out hunting? And you can do both like that. And it makes a difference. You hear something walking in the woods or crossing the river or something, and you go like that. It's amazing how much more you can hear. Yeah. Try it sometime. Elephants and everything, you know, have bigger ears. Animals have bigger ears because they rely on sound, hearing, for survival. So that's the outer ear. The middle ear has the drum, what we call the drum. And then there's three tiny bones, the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. And these are all arranged just in the right way, and they remain there. Amazing how Brother Merle has been working with power tools around equipment for probably 70 of his 80 years. And he can still hear. Right, Brother Merle? It's amazing. It continues to work. The inner ear has hair cells and the cochlea and so on. And there's an interaction of the fluids that are in. The fluids don't mix. And they have chambers that they're in, and they connect with the nerves, and those nerves take what they catch in sound waves and send it on to the brain, and the brain then is able to remember and, and interpret. And your brain remembers certain sounds. Your brain remembers somebody's voice. Your brain remembers keys. And thank God for our worship team that does a great job with singing and playing and worshiping. Praise God. And it wouldn't be possible if the ears didn't function the way they're supposed to. Moreover, your ear establishes equilibrium and balance. And those unfortunate to have struggles with vertigo. I really feel for Sister Ann. She would love to be in church. She would love to be here to worship with you, but vertigo continues to be a problem, and she's had it for years. And keep praying. Keep praying. I believe our God, who made the hearing ear, is also able to take care of it all. Amen. Thank God for the brain to be able to receive all that sensory input translated into sight and sound, and all the other senses, the touch, the taste, the smell, along with sight and sound, the brain can process. And again, the memory aspects that are there. Think about sight and sound, though, and how much sensory input that covers. It's 2/5 of the 40% of the sensory ability that you have, but it probably covers, what, 80%, 90% of your sensory input. Taste, touch, and smell just doesn't cover as much. But God made these. And they're living tissues. They're not machines. They're living tissues. They're cells that are replaced in that whole process. And those cells require blood and oxygen. And then that blood takes away the waste of all of the cells. It's amazing how it all functions so well. How could it not be designed? It's just ridiculous to me to consider that it's chance. You know, Jackson has a bunch of Legos. And you know what he did this afternoon? He dumped those Legos out on his floor, and he went and got a peanut butter sandwich. And then when he came back, there was a nice fire truck all made together out of those Legos. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. It just happened. You know, that's what I think about evolution. How could it happen? It just, oh well. You can go on and on and on about it, but by faith, we believe the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and things which do appear were not made of things which are the things that are were not made of things which do appear. God just spoke it. And for that matter, remember mathematics or remember chemical equations. They're supposed to go both ways. The equal sign, you can go either way. E equals mc square, Einstein's theory of relativity. And so that means energy comes from mass times the speed of light squared, whatever that means, however you get it done. But what I think is it can go the other way. Energy produces mass and light, and that's what God did. Praise God. The Almighty spoke it into existence. Thank God. And what a work that he did. Hallelujah. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Paul in Athens, you know, those educated people, he said, seek the Lord, feel after him, and find him. He's not far from every one of us. Praise God. Now, that has to do with seeking, I know, but the feeling, you know, feeling his presence. Praise God. Feeling his peace, feeling his power. How awesome that is. Prayers are like incense. And we thank the Lord for that. I found this story. You may have read it. A mother named Diane had to have a cesarean delivery. She delivered her baby girl, 24 weeks old, obviously very premature, weighed 1 pound, 9 ounces, and was 12 inches long. The doctors, of course, gave every warning, every prediction. If she lives through the night, you know, it would be amazing. And if she lives, she'll probably have severe disabilities, and so just prepare yourself. Well, for 2 months, little Dana was in the incubator. Mom and Dad couldn't hold her. They were afraid of, you know, the contact and her sensory being overloaded and all that sort of thing. 2 more months went by, and they finally took her home. Again, the doctors are saying, there's very little hope. It's going to be normal. If she lives, it's going to be a miracle. 5 years later, she's with her mom at her brother's baseball practice. Her brother's 5 years older than her, and so he's out there, little league and so on. And a thunderstorm, this is Texas, a thunderstorm is on the horizon, and it's moving their way, and they could, you know, you can feel when rain is coming. And little Dana looked at her mom and said, "You smell that?" And Diane said, "Yeah, I think we're going to have rain." And she closed her eyes and said, "No, do you smell that?" She said, "That's the way God smells when you lay your head against his chest." Now, yeah, I don't know what that little girl experienced. But when her mom and dad couldn't hold her, the Heavenly Father holding her, yeah, that's the way our God works. That's who you can put your trust in. That's who you can hold to. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we put our trust in him. Can we worship him just a minute here now? Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful. You're so powerful. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for supplying our needs, all of our needs. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let our faith grow. Let our faith increase. Let our trust be in you. Lord, that you would do the work, and we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Now, Psalm 94 and 9. Psalm 94 and 9, he that planted the ear, odd way of saying it, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? So what the psalmist is saying is, the one who made your ears, the one who made your eyes, he can see, he can hear, he can take care of you. Praise God. I'm thankful he sees our needs and he hears our prayers. Now, right from the very beginning in creation, God saw that it was good. Amen. God said 10 times. God saw 7 times. All good. Amen. And I like the way it says, he made the stars also. Almost like as kind of an afterthought. Oh, another thing. He made the stars. This author that I was reading about the man giving the critique on the eye said that he heard an astronomer speak one time, and it was about design. And the astronomer showed a slide of what he said was 100 billion stars. Now, there's a lot of them out there. And the Hubble telescope and all of these other advances are finding more and more galaxies and solar systems and all kinds of stuff. But the 100 billion stars, he said, if you count them 1 per second, it'll take you 2,500 years. That's quite a few stars. He made the stars also. Oh, and take a look at Psalm 147. He calls them by name. He numbers the stars, and he calls them by name. Praise God. 147:4. Verse 3 is even more wonderful. He heals the brokenhearted. Huh. Yeah. Again, we're psychologists, philosophers, education, sociologists, whoever. Can't even come close to touching that. But he does. I'm so glad I know him. I'm so glad I'm called by his name. Praise God. Now, there was a time that God said it's not good. Not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him or a helper fit for him. And God's provision for a wife for the husband, Adam, is very significant because it's a type of Christ in the church. It's not just a social entity, not just a social adjustment and so on, a provision that the Lord would make. I'm glad he did. I'm glad we're in families. I'm glad we're in the church. I'm thankful that the Lord has taken care of us in that realm, in that category. But it was more a type of the church. Ephesians 5, I'm going to go ahead and take time to read it. It makes the connection real strong on a husband and wife and Christ in the church. Ephesians 5. Oh, 23, let's say, 23. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it. Whoa. There's a big, tall order right there. 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So he was describing that love, that connection, that relationship, that longevity, that singularity. It's all a part of God's plan to show Christ in the church. And so when God saw the disobedience of Adam and Eve, I don't think it was a casual, they messed up. I think the Lord was deeply disappointed. I think the Lord was sad and reacted in sorrow because it meant they would be separated from him. That's what died, their relationship with him. It was at an end. The angel ushered them out of the garden, a place of perfection, paradise, because there was another tree there called the tree of life. And had they partaken of that tree at the same time that they were in a sinful state, then that would have been perpetual. But God's love for them made for the plan of redemption begin to unfold. In one sense, it was an ending, but in another sense, it was a beginning. And the Lord was not going to stop reaching out. And thank God, there, in spite of what we see happening with Cain and other situations that developed, thank the Lord that there were people who committed to follow the Lord. Enoch walked with God. In just very short few verses there in Genesis, also Hebrews 11. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And he didn't see death. He was translated. But before he was translated, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Even though there were a majority of society going another way and down, Enoch chose to go the other way and walk with God and be obedient to him. And he didn't die. He was translated. And in the Strong's, that word translated means transfer. It means change and remove. Praise God. He got out of here. What we're believing the Lord is going to do for the church. God saw his desire for righteousness and didn't leave him just to wander on his own. Because very shortly after that, the conditions that brought on the flood were described. And again, we're seeing wickedness. Genesis 6 and 5. God saw. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Society had gone the wrong way and downward very quickly. Man's choice for evil was running rampant. That's all he was thinking about. That's all he was imagining. That's all he was pursuing, going after evil. But again, there was an individual who stood out to God. And his name? Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I like the way the Message translation says. Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. Praise God. And so that set Noah apart. And God extended grace to Noah and his family in the midst of all the evil that was going on in that society. And it's no wonder the Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Are we in those days right now? I believe we are. Very much so. And God help us to be like Noah and do all that he commanded. By the way, it also says that Genesis 6:9, that Noah walked with God. Just like Enoch, he walked with God. Lord, help us to be able to do that as well, to walk with the Lord and to do all that the Lord commanded. 6:22 and 7:5. Twice it's mentioned that Noah did all that the Lord commanded. And Hebrews 11 mentions him as well. He built the ark to the saving of his house. Warned of things not seen yet. There hadn't been a flood. There hadn't been rain. A mist came up from the earth to water everything. Hadn't rained before. And yet, Noah, by faith, did this work. And they worked, he and his family worked for over a century, getting that ark prepared. And then, praise God, they floated above the flood. And I think of, you know, how some may have, when the rain, it rained 40 days, 40 nights, the fountains of the deep were broken up, the water levels rose. And there may have been some who cobbled together a raft real quick. But what about fresh drinking water? What about food? Because the water didn't recede for over a year. So man's preparations weren't adequate. It was those who obeyed what the Lord said. Amen. God saw that wickedness, and he judged it. And I think he's going to do the same in our day. Very much so. Now, 2 Chronicles 16:9 is a beautiful promise, but it's put in a form of reprimand, put in a sense of judgment. King Asa, the king of Judah, is being reprimanded for not trusting in the Lord alone. He relied on the king of Syria. He allied himself with the king of Syria. And so the prophet came to him with this proclamation, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know, God sees. The one who made the eye, he sees as well. And he'll show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him, seeking him, desiring him, reaching for him. Praise God. He'll be there to provide. Now, instead of taking that promise, instead of grabbing hold of it and saying, I'm not going to rely on a foreign army. I'm not going to rely on another king. I'm going to come back and rely on the Lord. Asa got mad, and he arrested the prophet. And he put him in prison. But then Asa became diseased in his feet. And the Bible says it was great, a great disease. But what did he do? He didn't think of the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the whole earth. If he did, he disdained it. He rejected it. And he relied on physicians. Nothing wrong with relying on physicians. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for our medical technology. Thank God for the advances that we have. But God is able to do so much more. Praise God. And I'm thankful we can put our trust in him. The Lord sees. Jesus saw the disciples. He's gathering them. Andrew, Peter, James, John, Philip. Philip goes to Nathanael. He says, we found him, the Messiah, and Jesus of Nazareth. And that's when Nathanael makes his comment, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And when the Lord approached him, he spoke to Nathanael, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. That got Nathanael's attention. And then the Lord made a tremendous promise. You're going to see even greater things. Praise God. When we follow the Lord, we see even greater things. Amen. They were on the ship, and the disciples were crossing over to the other side, like the Lord said. The Lord went up on the mountain to pray. And as they were in the lake on the ship, a storm hit. And these are seasoned fishermen. They know how to handle a boat. They know how to take care of themselves on the water. But they're very fearful in this storm. And the Lord is not with them. He's up on the mountain praying. And the Bible tells us it was the fourth watch of the night. Night. Get that. It was evening when they set sail. And now it's night. Between 3 and 6 in the morning. And the Lord sees them in that storm. The Lord sees their predicaments, knows their fear, aware of what's happening. And he comes walking to them on the water. Now he doesn't wander all over the place in a search pattern. This grid, that back up this way, check the compass. No, he knows exactly where they are, and he walks to them. Praise God. And they're fearful. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a spirit. But they heard that familiar voice. Their ears recognized his voice. The wind's whistling, the waves are splashing and crashing, but they hear his voice. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. It is literally I am. I am, praise God. And Exodus 3:14 is the connection there. I am that I am, praise God. And he did the work. And so Peter wants to walk on the water, sinks and so on. And Jesus rescues him. They get both back in the ship and the wind ceased. Wow. That's seeing what God can do. Yeah. Amen. The Lord hears. The Lord sees. The Lord hears. Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles 6. He says, hearken three times. And then he says, hear thou from heaven seven times. He's entreating the Lord. I need you to hear. I need you to hearken, Lord. And God gives the promise. And we recognize it in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where the Lord says, I will hear from heaven. Praise God. But notice the responsibility of his people, my people, he says. He'll hear from heaven when you do what he says. Humble yourself, pray, seek, turn. Amen. And thank God that that's the possibilities that the Lord is able to reveal as we walk with him and know that there's the power that he's able to reveal. Hagar is involved in a situation not of her making. Sarah wanted that heir, the promised son, and Abraham fathers her child, Ishmael, and then there was conflict, and Sarah wanted her gone. So Abraham gave her bread and a bottle or a water, a skin container of some sort, and sent her away. Well, the bread and water didn't last. She's out in the desert. She puts her son down under a shrub, and she goes over a distance away. I don't want to see him die. And she sits down and weeps. Then she hears a voice. In her weeping and crying, she hears a voice. Genesis 21 and 17. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Praise God. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. How did she miss that well of water? God provided right there. And she filled her water bottle, and the Bible says God was with the lad. Amen. Thank the Lord. You may feel insignificant. You may feel in a situation not of your making. You may feel the responsibilities that you have weighing heavy on you. Know that the Lord hears. He hears. Praise God. A Syrophoenician woman, a Greek from Canaan, and her story is told in Matthew 15 and in Mark 7. She cried to the Lord, have mercy. My daughter is vexed. She's demon-possessed. That was the problem. Have mercy. He answered her not a word. Did he hear? Of course he heard. But he was going to show his disciples something, and he was going to help that lady. She apparently, to her credit, kept on asking because the disciples said, "Send her away. She crieth after us." It was becoming irritating. It was becoming difficult. And her constant, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." She called him Lord 3 times. I think that got the Lord's attention. I think that helped him to recognize this woman has faith. She's not a Hebrew. She doesn't have a heritage. She doesn't. She's not of the chosen. She doesn't have a part in the covenant, but she's recognizing me as Lord. And then that part about it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. A lot of people today would leave with a hump and probably even worse than that. A lot of mean things being said and foul language and any number of displays of anger. Truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs. And that's when the Lord commended her faith. O woman, great is thy faith. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Interesting how that was a comparison of when did it happen? It happened when Jesus said, that nobleman, remember him? And in asking the Lord to come and heal his son, and the Lord said, "Go thy way, your son lives." And he meets his servants on the way back and inquires, "When did it happen?" When the Lord said. Thank God that we have a God who is able to do that kind of work. Amen. So seeing and hearing, praise God. I'm thankful what we have seen and what we have heard is what we can testify. The shepherds, the experiences that they heard, they heard the angel, they saw the glory. They went to Bethlehem to see Christ the Lord, the Savior that is born this day in the city of David. And oh my, their thoughts are just going 100 miles an hour. The Messiah, the one who is promised. For generations that we've waited, and now he's here. Praise God. And Luke 2:20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Praise God. You know, it's very possible that these were shepherds who were raising sacrificial lambs. See, not everybody raised their own lambs. They were sacrificing in the temple. Very possible that that's what they were doing. And the Passover lamb that was required. And here they go to Bethlehem, to a stable, and they see the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Pretty amazing stuff. But they saw it. They heard it. Praise God. The disciples were reprimanded by the council, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter answers, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Praise God. I hope nobody intimidates you from your testimony. I hope you don't let anybody paint you into a corner and make you be real defensive. You've seen so many things. You've heard so many powerful things. Thank God. You're able to testify, you're able to witness, you're able to teach. Amen. You're able to bring forth what God has brought forward for you. Amen. Jesus spoke of prophets and kings in Luke 10. Luke 10 is a tremendous chapter. I like to read it. And the disciples sent out 2 by 2, they come back rejoicing, "Lord, even the devils are subject in your name." I saw Satan fall like lightning. The reason he could say that is he's the one who kicked him out. And the speed of light, wow, that's really getting with it. And that's how far and how fast Satan fell. "And I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nevertheless, rejoice not in this, rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. And then Jesus rejoiced. That would have been something to see, huh? He rejoiced because they were getting it. It was sinking in. They were grabbing a hold of those truths. They were recognizing the power they could walk in. They could access what God made available for them. That's why he rejoiced. I hope he's rejoicing over you. Because he hears and he sees. And then he mentions that, Luke 10:24. I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired the things to see the things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. So even though they didn't experience it, they didn't actually see and hear, they saw it in prophecy, yet they desired it. They were reaching for it. They recognized there was something more there. Peter comments on this in his first letter. 1 Peter 1:10, the salvation that the prophets have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come to you. And they were thrilled with what was going to come, what was going to happen, something beyond the law, something beyond the work that they knew that they had to follow through on. And then he said, even the angels want to know. Even the angels desire to look into the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Praise God. That's what you've seen and heard. That's what you've experienced. Praise God. And your testimony can be strong. Now, we're to guard against seeing and hearing what is going to harm you, seeing and hearing what's going to damage your spiritual walk. Guard against seeing and hearing evil. The devil wants you to see and hear his deceit and to fail to resist temptation. It's hard to unsee something, hard to unhear something. Your brain is just an incredible computer, way beyond anything that Apple or IBM or whoever can design. Your brain is far greater. And the devil wants to capitalize on that. That's why there's so much garbage on the internet. That's why it's so easily accessible. One click. That's why there's so much junk that comes up, even as you're just checking the news, these things that flash up. Garbage. No wonder it's called a net and a web, because the devil's trying to catch you, trying to drag you down. But thank God, the Lord prayed this in John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That's going to happen eventually. That's coming up. But that thou shouldest keep them from evil. The Lord prayed that for you, to keep you from evil. In fact, he taught you to pray, deliver us from evil. Praise God. We're not going to flirt with it, not going to get as close as we can with it, not going to explore it. No, we're going to do the work that God desires us to do. In the world, not of the world. Amen. Doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Praise God. There's that combination has got to be there, doesn't it? Amen. All right, we're just about finished here. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is actually Paul quoting from Isaiah 64:4. But he says, it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. He's using those two senses. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That opens up a huge possibility, doesn't it? That opens up incredible vistas and awesome opportunities. Now, we oftentimes assign that to the heavenly reward, the heavenly home that we're going to experience, and we put it off. But Paul didn't put it off. The next verse, he goes on to say, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Those are things we experience now. That's why Ephesians 4 times talks about heavenly places. We're made to sit in heavenly places. because God gives us a taste of what it's going to be like over there. Praise God. He's preparing that place. John 14 lets us know he's preparing it. Those that love him are going to be led to greater things in this world and the experience with God, and then things out of this world. Praise God. Amazing, amazing stuff. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Don't stop. Don't keep, just sit back and say, well, I've experienced more than I deserve. This is amazing. No, keep going. Keep going, because God has more to show you. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that's amazing. It's always more. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give? You need to find out. You need to make that your quest, your determination. I'm not going to get distracted by the garbage in this world. I'm going to keep seeking the things that God has for me. Not going to be distracted by what may be going on. I'm going to follow on to know what the Lord has in store for me. In verse 12 in that same chapter, we've received the Spirit, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Wow. There again, wide open. Lots of opportunity. Seeing and hearing what God wants you to experience. He said, it's not man's wisdom, but it's what the Holy Ghost teaches. You got to stay close to him. You got to spend time with him. You got to read his word. You got to be in his presence. Call on his name. Praise God. It's not wasted time, Brother Thomas. It's time that we know is powerful, that we're spending time in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord that's there, and the goodness of God. Determine in your heart to experience more from God, to learn more of what God wants you to see, what he wants you to hear, because he's got an abundance available for you. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Oh, my. Don't fall short. Don't let the devil cheat you. Don't let him misdirect you. But determine, I'm gonna keep going. I'm not going to stop. God has so much that I want and I desire. Praise God. So we spend time with him. Can we come to the front and pray here for a few minutes? Let's just... By stepping out, we're saying, yeah, I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep listening. I'm going to keep following. I'm not going to turn aside. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to fail. I'm going to see what God has in store for me. We have fellowship downstairs here in a few minutes. That's going to be an enjoyable time. But let's just be in the presence of God here for a few minutes and know with assurance, both of ourselves, committing ourselves to him and feeling again his power and his presence. Can we worship? Thank you, Lord God.